SW. But where your nearest counter is, visit www.
We're open 24 hours a day, please.
Yes. 1101-9610. I'm hearing you very faintly.
Could you hear me a bit better now?
Much better.
Lovely. You've heard Sir Vicky, so how may I help?
I should perhaps tell you I'm probably the longest buying client that Radio Spares Limited has. I've been buying your goods since Exeter University Laboratories, 1945, and I opened my present account in Audiorama Limited's name in 1958, and therefore you must bear with me that I'm rather... I order something. Option 4. Did you say option 4?
Customer Care Centre for Domestic Products. To ensure that your call is routed to the correct department, you will shortly be given 5 options and asked to press a number on your telephone keypad. To help us maintain a high standard of service, your call may be recorded or monitored. For TV, camcorders, video, DVD and satellite. Please continue to hold for a customer care advisor. Your call will be answered shortly. Alternatively, you may wish to visit our website at www.soonaspossible.
Hello?
Panasonic Customer Care, Julie speaking, how may I help you?
We are Audiorama Limited, audio engineers. My name is Seddon. May I know who I'm speaking to, please?
I'm Julie.
Julie, can you please find out for us whether you can obtain and supply to us, in respect of a EZAphone answering machine, KXT1524DBE, and for this we need 2 things. The first and most important, we need user instruction manual,
yeah.
But we also need service repair manual.
Right.
And the same items are also wanted in respect of a machine which is called Kingfisher, which doesn't bear the name Panasonic, but I understand is made by Panasonic. It's something that used to be sold, I think, by British Telecom.
Unfortunately, Kingfisher, I mean, I don't know anything about those.
But it is apparently a Panasonic product, so I'm assured.
What is it you need for...
Well, for both machines, we need 2 items for each. A user instruction manual. And that's the most important thing, specifically in respect of the KX thing, and also a service repair manual.
Have you got a model number for the Kingfisher?
I'm sorry, I haven't. I may have to ring you again about that.
All right, just bear with me a minute.
Thank you.
Don't have any of those. We don't have any accessories whatsoever for the 1524. And my colleague says that for the Kingfisher, we only ever used to do some tapes. It is actually a BT model, but we did used to sort of do tapes for it. Now, there is a company called Hillside in London, and they do actually repair these phones. So they might be able to help you.
You see, do you have a telephone number?
Yep. 0208.
Yes.
3466.
Yes.
544.
Right. Do you know where they are?
I'm afraid I don't. I know they're in London somewhere, obviously, but I don't know whereabouts.
Taxi, and you don't have any of these documents?
None at all. We don't have service repair manuals anyway.
Well, would you have the user instruction manual? Because that is also very important.
Unfortunately not. A lot of the older phones, we do have some of the accessories still, but for that particular model, we haven't.
Right, thank you very much.
Sorry.
Bye-bye. Hillside.
Yes, we are.
This is Audiorama Limited. It's a tiny firm of repairers in Datchet, near Windsor. My name is Seddon. Whom am I speaking to, please?
My name is Richard.
Oh, Richard. I wonder if you can kindly help us. We've been referred to you by Panasonic. We're seeking for our own internal use a user instruction manual, which is the most important one, and less important but also desirable, service repair manual in respect of Easophone Panasonic answering machine, quite an ancient gentleman, KXT1524DBE. It's pretty well out of the arc.
Yeah, but we can sell them for 90-odd quid in working order. No problem.
Oh, I see. You can still sell them.
Reliable.
Oh, I see.
All
we're wanting is the actual literature.
Yeah, the only problem is I'm just an outside engineer that's come in to cover the shop. Because
yes.
The gentleman that normally runs the shop here is out.
Yes.
Let's go out. His name is David.
Yes.
And he'll be back in Monday. If you speak to him...
I mean, you see, a photocopy would do if an existing manual, if you don't have a spare one.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure of the state of our actual manual for that particular model. And I think most of the time, I don't get that many for repair. But when I do, most of the time, it's off the top of my head. You see, a lot of it.
How do you mean?
Well, I've got a circuit diagram.
Yes.
And that's about it, I think. I don't think there's much of a manual left. User manual, I don't think you've got any chance of getting hold of a user manual for one.
Well, I mean, a copy of the circuit diagram would be invaluable, and I'd be glad to pay you for it.
Well, hang on. I'll
give you all that. It's only about 5p left. That's the address.
Yeah, just hold on one second for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's yours.
Yeah. I need a pen with that. 1763. Sorry. Give me a sandwich of change. Okay. If you give me your fax number, I'll fax over to you what I've got.
I must explain to you. I'm an old fogey. I'm 76. I'm far too old-fashioned, and far too poor to have any of that modern fear-le-France. All I have is a telephone.
All right.
I do have a photocopier, but I don't have any of the other thing.
Right. I don't think I've got a I don't know how well it will photocopy, you see. It's not in very good state because it is very old.
Would you be willing to lend it to me? I take the greatest care of it. I have a very old but very good photocopier.
Speak to his David.
I could copy it and send it back to you.
Yeah, the only person is David. Hang on a second. Okay. It's all suddenly sort of gone off. Every phone's ringing at the moment and everybody...
Never mind. But I've got patience. Nothing is accomplished in life without patience. I will hold on while you deal with the telephone.
No, I know who's ringing on that one. I can wait.
Okay.
The only person I can suggest you speak to is David. About that, and speak to him on Monday.
If you've got the diagram, surely you're the person I need to speak to.
Well, it's in here. It's in. I know. There's a diagram for it in the drawer.
Oh, I see.
All the other diagrams of all the other Panasonics and everything else. I definitely know there's one there.
Yeah.
But if you phone Monday morning, David will be in here. He'll be able to sort you out from there onwards.
Okay, do you think he will help?
Yes, I should think so. Yes, I don't see why not. Have you got a pen handy?
Yes, I have.
Right. If he doesn't seem to want to help, because sometimes he can be a bit awkward.
Yes.
If you give me a call.
Yeah.
I'll just give you my mobile number. The diagram is what you want, yes?
That's it.
The circuit diagram.
Any other literature you may have on that equipment.
Right.
Oh, and also on another equipment, which is called Kingfisher, which I'm told is a Panasonic product.
Yes, they are indeed. Know them as well.
Is there only one version of Kingfisher, or are there more than one?
I haven't seen a Kingfisher for a while, so if you could refresh my memory...
I haven't got the thing here, unfortunately. As far as I remember, it's got a separate mains transformer, the plug-in variety. You know, the sort of plug transformer thing.
There's two types, as far as I know, of Kingfisher. Do you know if it has a... if it had an answer machine, a handset on it?
Now hold on. That's a point. I do believe there's a third one. There is one without a telephone built into it, just an answering machine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one which has the telephone built into it. So really one would want one copy of each of those if they're available.
Okay. I will see what I can do for you. If you've got a pen handy...
I have it.
Right, now, if I work some strange hours, if you can't leave a message on my answer... Well, you can, but I can't get the things off on my... It's only my mobile phone number.
Right.
But if you ring...
Yes.
If you have any problems, call me on 716.
Yeah.
42.
So it's 0781.
Yeah.
And it's Richard what?
That's mine. It's Richard Moslin.
How do you spell it?
MOSLIN.
Interesting and unusual name. Where does that come from?
I was born in Yorkshire.
Muslin. Well, you see, I'm what the English call a bloody foreigner. I'm Hanoverian German, -French, -English. So languages and words and names fascinate me, and I have never met that name before.
There's not a lot of us about.
My grandmother came from Huddersfield. That is in your county, isn't it?
Huddersfield?
Yes.
Yep.
They call it, I think they call it Huddersfield there.
Huddersfield, Howard.
What part of Yorkshire are you from?
Otley.
Otley, oh yes.
Yeah, just north of Leeds, north sort of, I suppose it's north, north.
That's a small world. I mean, this is, you see, I'm so ancient, this goes back donkey's years. I used to be assistant chief instructor in the officer training wing of the School of Signals in Catterick in Yorkshire. And I used to bring parties of young men who were being commissioned into signals down from the wilds of Blizzardly Catterick Camp. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, oh yeah, Catterick, yeah.
Not far from Richmond, Yorkshire. And I used to bring them back in an extraordinary sort of lorry with seats running along the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a dangerous arrangement because their backs, their vertebrae, were facing outwards and one could have awful accidents. And I used to bring them down to the main GPO telephone exchange building in Leeds. And show them how the thing was constructed and what it was made of and what it did and anything of that sort. This is way back, sort of 1951.
Okay.
Good God, that's 52 years ago.
Yeah.
Long time. All right, well, that's pretty kind of you. Now, tell me, what are your strange hours so I know when to ring you?
Well, my actual hours for the mobile phone... you can ring on Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I don't switch it on at all on Sundays.
Right.
From about 4, normally it's about 4, anywhere from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till about 9 at night normally.
Right, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, any time around there.
Right.
And I'm usually, it's usually on and working. I've been, by 9 o'clock, I've usually got the computers and stuff in, and I'm sitting down and working through the evening, you see. So, I don't like to be disturbed after then.
You don't want to be disturbed, not after 9?
Not after 9, no.
Not after 9, I'm writing it down.
And because I work normally until quite early hours in the morning, you see.
Ah, yes.
So, it's usually I don't wake up until sort of well gone, sort of 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I go out, do some work outside, bring one into the workshop what I've got to do, and start work on that. So
you really are a night worker. Do you find, I suppose you find your brain works best in the night, does it?
Yes, it does, unfortunately. It works very well in the night, and it's just generally, it's just very peaceful.
Well, that's true.
And concentrate on it and get on with it.
I must admit, I mean, I'm two-thirds retired now, but formerly, when I used to have particularly difficult repair problems of old wireless sets and things of that sort,
mm-hmm.
and a thing that I couldn't get concentrate on in the day because of the telephone ringing, I would work on it till 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And very often I would crack the problem at, say, 2 in the morning.
Right.
You find the same sort of thing. Nowadays, of course, at my age, that's all changed.
Yeah. It's getting a bit more difficult for me these days, I'm afraid.
May I ask how old you are?
I'm 43 this year.
You're coming on very well. You're really at your peak of excellence at that age.
Trying to be, but things keep changing too fast.
Well, that was my problem. I mean, I know the technology of the 1920s and 30s and 40s backwards, but modern stuff I find utterly, utterly different.
Just out of interest, you wanted the diagram for that particular machine. Any reason?
Oh, yes, so that I can repair one.
What's the problem that you're having with that?
My dogs are howling because there's some sirens sounding locally. I can't honestly remember what the problem was. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do remember something about it. One of the problems is that, for some reason, I'm unable to record satisfactorily the outgoing message tape.
Right.
right.
I have one outgoing message tape, which is suitably recorded, and that works. But when I try and record any other outgoing message tape, there's something wrong with the synchronization between the bleep on the tape on the one hand, I suspect, this is my guess, and the recorded outgoing message itself.
Right. Well, what they do on those particular machines is they record the audio, so it uses a stereo head.
I thought they probably did, yes.
And it records on one channel, say the left, I can't remember which one it is, say the left-hand channel, they record the audio signal.
Yes.
And then they record the stop tone on the other channel.
I thought that was so. What I haven't managed to find out is how one records the stop tone. Does one have to record the stop tone each time one makes a new message?
Yes, you press record like you would do on a normal, say, OGM, select OGM1.
Yes.
You press record just like you would do on a normal tape recorder.
Yes.
Speak, and then when you've finished, you press stop. And that should put the tone onto the head.
I've tried all these things. I may be mistaken, but I've noted down what you've said, and I'll try it again.
Normally, if that's the case, I mean, obviously, it has to pick up a precise tone.
Yes.
For it to detect. The heads get all oxide on them.
Yes, well, that the cleaning has been dealt with.
Yes.
Presumably, there's a self-contained oscillator of some sort at that particular frequency, which produces the tone, I would imagine.
That's right. It's one of the only arms machines that's got its own bias oscillator as well for the arrays head, which is very unusual.
Oh!
Normally, they just use DC through the head to wipe the tape.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
This is a little bit primitive.
It's actually very, very well built, and it's a very nice, as I say, I've done a few of these, but we have more problems getting mechanical parts. But the other thing to check, obviously, is on the back of the head is the two wires that go to the record head.
In case they've come away?
Yep.
Yes, I see. Now, there's also another problem, which has taken to do recently. When you switch the thing on, there is the most tremendously loud vibration, a mechanical vibration which emits from the machine, accompanied by a form of wowing which results from the said vibration. It's as though there was a bearing in the motor which has gone, or which is going, or which is in the process of seizing up.
It's the Capstan Bush bearings.
Is it? Thank you very much.
Two of them there.
Sorry?
There's two of them. It could be either one. It depends which way it starts doing it. There's two phosphor bronze bearings pushed into the plastic around the side of the capstan spindle.
Oh, I see.
Now, that can be a very big problem because they are no longer available.
Does one accomplish anything by putting any grease in there?
You can do it. Just depends how bad they are.
Yes, I see. So it is the capstan bearing and not the motor bearing?
No, it's actually the capstan bearing on that. The motors are pretty reliable.
I see.
They either work 100% or they don't work at all.
I see, and there are two of these bearings?
Yeah, there's one on, if you just lift the lid up and look down at where the spindle comes up.
Yes.
By the pinch roller, you'll see two little phosphor bronze bushes held in with little copper clips and a small screw that holds them in place.
Ah.
They're quite a tight fit within the plastic sort of mounting bracket there. I use a jeweler's screwdriver to sort of put it in and eke them out gently because they are quite brittle.
And are these available?
No.
No.
They're not. You have to pack them out or find a... I think I'm actually just looking at all my scrap here and I don't even have any on half the decks that I can see there at all.
Ah.
So that sort of thing, yeah, I mean it's just a case of going around and basically scavenging from stuff that's either storm damage or whatever.
What could one pack it with? PTFE tape?
I've tried various things. I mean, it used, because of the way it is, I used to do it on old record decks. I used to leave these bushes in oil for about a week, and they seem to soak it up. It all depends how bad it is.
Sounds then as though they're sintered bearings, are they?
Sorry?
It sounds as though they are sintered bearings if they soak up oil.
Yeah. I can't remember what the
cover is. It's a porous material.
Which
incorporates oil from the word go.
Yeah. I think, well, as far as I know, that is exactly what they are.
Well, possibly if one puts some oil on top of them and leaves it resting there, it just might soak in.
Yeah, you've got to be careful it doesn't leak down onto the through and onto the mechanism, otherwise you've got to take the whole deck out and clean the thing.
Right, I can appreciate that.
Again, another feat in itself, because it's a very nice metal deck, very well built. We have a nanny agency here that buys them off us as soon as we've got them in. So we've got about five or six lines, and they want guaranteed working machines, and these are the only ones they've found that can cope with the job.
A nanny agency, an agency for nurses?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And nannies.
They find them the most reliable.
Yep.
Well, you see, I'm frightfully old-fashioned, and that fits in entirely with my experience. Mm-hmm. I find that everything old is very often extremely good, and most modern things are trash.
Yeah, well, I mean, Panasonic, basically, when people bought these things new, there was just like one card. There's this card that you send back that help them build up their idea of what people like about their equipment. And the main complaint that they had about their stuff was it was too expensive.
Yes.
So over the years, Panasonic have made it cheaper and cheaper. And you can go up to the model KXT2416 or KXT1416, and that's about as good as they get. After that, they're just rubbish.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Your Kingfisher, because I'm not that familiar with the Kingfisher series and everything, I believe that's based on those two types of answer machine, depending on whether it has a phone or whether it doesn't have a phone.
It's based on which one?
The 2416 and the 1416.
So it's still quite a good one?
Yeah, it's about the last one that Panasonic produced that was a good quality answer machine.
What year would that have been, roughly?
Let me have a look. See the serial number? 88.
88. And the 1524?
The 1524. That's well stopped making those by then. I don't honestly know. I think they'd stopped making them from about very early 80s.
Early 80s. Yes, I quite believe it. Isn't that interesting? So it is so with answering machines, as with so many other things, the older the better.
Yeah, to a point. Yeah, but I mean the 1524 is a very nice, as I say, very nice, very reliable machine. We have a waiting list for people of those. And even the other versions of that, which just looking at one right now, which is a slightly different version, which is a 1511.
How much do you sell those for?
When we get them in, they go to the people that was next on the waiting list. And it's anywhere between £70 and £90, depending on the condition of the casing.
Yes. Well, obviously these people, they are connoisseurs of quality.
It's mainly businesses that want to be able to record more than 14 one-minute messages.
Yes.
Which is all you get on the new digital stuff.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and the digital stuff, the quality, you know, I mean, if you've got a bit of a bad line on the digital stuff, you can't hear the person at the other end of the telephone line. Whereas these, the 1524s and the 1511s and 1516s and all of those, because of the quality of them and the way it's recorded, you can hear everything.
Now that's terribly interesting, because the propaganda tells us of the wonderful sound quality of digital, whereas what you're telling me seems to imply that the digital is pretty poor sound quality.
I mean, if you were to use a PC and basically get it to record sound, because you have so much more memory built into your PC, storage capability, you can put the quality up to as good as quality as CD or anything else. But these machines only use a small single memory chip in them to store all the information on, all the audio.
I see. You see, I'm so old-fashioned, I know nothing about modern technology. These chips that store, I've never seen or had dealings with.
It just basically breaks it into a set of digital ones and noughts, depending on how high your waveform is. There's an analog to digital converter.
But how does it store it?
It stores it onto the digital chip, onto a memory chip.
Huh?
Or just onto a memory chip, so there's a series of ones and noughts.
Oh, I see.
And then when you ask it to play it back, it turns the ones and noughts into an AC waveform.
Yes.
It just records how high the voltage is at each point as you go along over time of your sine wave. Or
you get from a series of steps, you get into a sinusoidal wave.
That's correct, yeah.
I see. But interesting, you say that...
der leitenden Leute gewesen und die haben mir gesagt, lassen Sie es doch und machen Sie es mit Brillen. Und wenn es nicht mehr geht, dann machen Sie es. Also so bekommst du verschiedene... Und dann hat er mich zu der Brillen-Optischen geschickt, nicht wahr? Und eine neue Brille. Und die neue Brille taucht nicht viel.
Oh.
Ja.
Wie ist die Sicht mit die rechte Auge, die linke Auge allein?
Sie hören die Sendung Wellenlänge. Vous écoutez la transmission longueur d'onde. Udite la trasmissione lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called wavelength.
not ready, I guess. I've forgotten where it was starting. But I think that's fine.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And the first half hour of the programme was a recorded conversation between Captain Maurice Seddon and a radio engineer discussing Panasonic, specifically the Kingfisher answering machine. That was followed by the two tracks you've just heard, which by Cranfield and Slade, called 12 Sun Songs. Cranfield and Slade, as far as I know, are a Canadian duo, artists, really, sort of visual artists who also make music. Most of their, as far as I know, again, most of their stuff is cover versions. And this particular one is called 12 Sun Songs, covering 12 tracks, all with the word sun in the title. And most of them are fairly obvious, fairly known tracks, one or two obscure ones. But then they followed that recently in a different mood or different mode with 10 Riot songs. These songs were recorded in 2010 by Cranfield and Slade and their band during the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, BC. And the songs they are covering, classics, all derived from about three short years in rock history. And I'm reading from the sleeve notes here. Yeah, but what the hell does that mean, that between 1978 and 81, there was a revolution in our throats and bodies? I'm talking English language here. Songs by bands from Vancouver, SF, LA, Edinburgh and Belfast are all covered by Cranfield and Slade. And one of those bands, the Rizzillos, was already covering Fleetwood Mac. And Wild in the Streets, which everyone covers, is covered here as covered by the Circle Jerks. And originally the song was penned by the great Garland Jeffries of Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, etc. And so it goes on. And Cranfield and Slade, where do we go from there? Except this is not her first experience for sure, nor the band's, who have been playing for a long time. Maybe not always in a reconstructed Northern Irish pub like this was recorded in at the time of the Olympics, in itself another kind of giant metal gate coming down, right? I mean, Olympics are always fascist opportunities to Hyde or Epcot whatever kind of urban culture remains in a place, making quaint and marketable copies of what was. But 10 Riot songs, thank you, thank you. Clearly these are just what our own particular everyone wants and needs, which is to hear these words today, to scream them. It's interesting because though I love listening to these tracks, especially while dangerously driving in the rain away from Vancouver, thinking I'm going to die, the fact that they're doing the thing of this is absolutely what counts, the fact that it was made, a performance monument kind of, statuary. I mean, it's great, and it doesn't even have to be. It's a revolutionary copy you hold in your hand. And I believe that in its time of performance, in fact, and in my head, the metal gate is loudly going back up. It's morning in the world, and everyone, all of us, are so fucking mad and ignited. Those are the sleeve notes by Eileen Miles, a Canadian poet and writer. So there we are, two sides of Cranfield and Slade, 12 Sun songs and 10 Riot songs. And so we'll play out with some Riot songs.
Riding the unbeatable high. Adrenaline shoots your nerves to the sky. Everyone knows this town is gonna blow, and it's all gonna blow right now!
Thank you. fuck you.